Good morning to you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
In the absence of the rector this morning, my privilege to say welcome to everybody, but in particular to any who may be here this morning as visitors. We're always very keen in St. Columba's that people who come either casually or maybe on holiday or whatever should feel at home here, and we hope you'll find this service this morning helpful. All the details of this service can be found on Pew News, and I trust you have a copy of it with you. As a community of faith, we join in the celebration of Holy Communion and say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The appointed prayer for this day, the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you, that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please sit for the epistle.
Paul has been contrasting law and freedom, right and wrong. The logic leads him to a favourite phrase. God's Spirit makes us God's adopted children, who can use the name Jesus used, Abba, Father. Hold on to that, whatever turmoil the world contains. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The parable of the wheat and tares seems so simple to us, because it is so familiar. But those who first heard it needed the explanation that the evil in this world is allowed by God to exist alongside the good of the kingdom. But there will come a time when only the good survives. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. In recent years, much time and effort has gone into ensuring that St. Columba's has one of the best parish magazines and websites in the Church of Ireland, or for that matter, in any other church. And that has paid dividends. Maybe it's a lost leader, or perhaps it pays its own way, I don't know. But it's evident that many people, parishioners and non-parishioners alike, look forward to reading its contents each month. I put some of them out in the pews this morning for a particular reason, and hopefully the end of the service, unless you're a visitor or haven't got a copy yet, they'll go back from whence they came at the back of the church. And there's always something of interest. For example, this month, the summer issue, July and August, there's a photograph taken by Paddy Malone. And it's about 100 metres from where we spend some of our time, leisure activities, when we're not in this area. And Jenny, you're here this morning. I suppose that's our cover well and truly blown. Or if it's not, people can guess for themselves. At the heart of all we do here, of course, is worship. And therefore it's right that services are given a prominent place in every issue of the Columban. Highlighted are the type of services and also the appointed readings. I know that every person is not in possession of the words of the readings on Sunday mornings. But by checking the monthly Columban and the weekly Pew News, you can, as well as listening to the readings here, read the passages at your leisure at home. In July, if you look at the list of readings, you'll notice that the New Testament passages are from a very confined area. The epistles at Holy Communion services are from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and we'll continue working our way through that letter in August. Not all of the material in the Epistle to the Romans is easy to understand, and maybe for that reason, few of our sermons focus on that book. However, with attention focusing on the life and role of Martin Luther, it's, as some of you will know, the 500th anniversary of the nailing of the 95 Theses to a church door in Germany, setting in motion the Reformation. With that anniversary in mind, I'm sure we'll use the opportunity to demonstrate how Luther was influenced by the material in the letter to the Romans, and in particular by the doctrine propounded by St. Paul and shared by Luther, that we are justified and redeemed primarily by faith. Now, that's a very big subject, and one to which we'll return. I have to have a word with the rector to see if he's happy about that, but a subject to which we'll return sooner rather than later. Having said that, it is the gospel on which I wish to focus this morning. Look again at the lectionary in the Columban, and you'll see that three of the gospel passages in July are from one chapter, St. Matthew chapter 13. At that rate, it would take us many years to read all the material in the gospel accounts, not to mention the entire New Testament. So, what's so significant about St. Matthew chapter 13? Well, it contains some of our Lord's best known teaching. For example, the parable of the sower, we heard it read last week. The parable of the wheat and the tares, we heard it a few moments ago. The parable of the mustard seed, you'll probably hear that read next week. The parable about leaven, and the parable of the buried treasure. Now, those are individual stories, but they are known collectively as the parables of the kingdom. And why? Because in each case, Jesus likens something to the kingdom of heaven. Do look at that passage perhaps when you go home, and you'll see the words recurring: the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. There's a common thread running through all of those parables in St. Matthew chapter 13. But I'm going to focus for a minute or two on this morning's parable in particular, that of the wheat and the tares. Maybe they are totally dissimilar, but I'm going to liken the tares to those dreadful, I think you call them mare's tails, that seem to make their presence felt in every garden and seem almost impossible to eradicate. I have a relatively small garden now. Every time I go out into the garden and look at the flowers, the likes of the begonias that are beginning to come into bloom, in the middle of them all are these awful things that I call mare's tails. It doesn't take much to conclude that in telling the parables of the kingdom, Jesus was speaking to a rural farming community. Tares were one of the curses with which a farmer had to labour. In the early stages of growth, the tares, that's the weeds, closely resembled the wheat. By the time one could tell the difference between them, the roots were intertwined. Pull out the tares, and the good wheat came with them. So, what was the solution? Well, the solution was very slow and laborious. At harvest, the grain had to be placed on large trays. And at that point, the tares or the rogue wheat could be removed. Occasionally, farmers were victims of jealous or vengeful people who would plant tares in the early stages of growth in order to destroy the whole crop. What was the lesson for life in this particular parable? That there is always a hostile or evil presence waiting to destroy good. It suggests to us that life can be complicated. A person may appear to be good and may in fact be bad. Another may appear to be bad and may in fact be good. So it's suggested that we shouldn't be too quick to jump to conclusions about other people, because God alone knows the secrets of our hearts. Followers of Christ should seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else, as we hear in that hymn, will be added unto us. Every time we recite the Lord's Prayer, we acknowledge that, and I quote, "Lord, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory." The kingdom of God can refer to a state of society on earth where God's will is as perfectly done as it is in heaven. However, we live in an imperfect world where kingdom values are often lacking. In seeking the kingdom of heaven on earth, we can have high ideals and a desire to find what is true, what is honourable, what is just, what is pure, and what is good. That quest can be prolonged, because those of us who profess to have the treasure in our possession get it mixed up with the dirt and the rubbish and, yes, the tares, the flotsam and jetsam of everyday life. We can aspire to kingdom values here. After all, the parish church should be the centre where we see the vision and the hope of the people of God. But it is, to quote, in the marketplace from Monday to Saturday, that one can test the real temperature of a parish church, the spiritual condition and the quality of a faith community. The kingdom parables to which I've made reference this morning have inspired writers and artists alike. One of the 16th century artists, Rembrandt, one of his best known paintings is entitled The Parable of the Hidden Treasure. That treasure is just beyond the grasp or out of sight of the central character in the painting. It seems to compel him to try and try and try again. Expressing it in Christian terms, we must hope that we can discover the treasure, and along with it, the conviction of what God's will is for you and for me. The kingdom parables challenge us, not necessarily to make some great contribution to human welfare, which newspapers report and history recounts, but on our actions and our interactions with people with whom we come in contact every day. Our friends, our opponents, our neighbours, in our communities and in our areas. As Christians, all our efforts and all our thoughts should recognise that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We are of little use in promoting the kingdom of God on earth or proclaiming the kingdom of God in heaven if we become detached from the great shepherd. When we pray together before we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning, we will say these familiar words: Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. They were words taught by Jesus when his first disciples asked him to teach them to pray. They are words that require a positive response from you and from me. More than that, if we practice what we profess, the love of Jesus is, to quote a hymn, so amazing and so divine that it demands my soul, my life, and my all. If we could appreciate that, and if we could apply that, then we'd go some considerable way in applying what we call the kingdom of heaven on earth. Amen. To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. As people of faith, we profess our beliefs together in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers of the people will be led this morning by Helen Donaghy. Let us pray.
This morning, we use the second form of intercessions, which can be found on page 238 of the Book of Common Prayer or on page 151 of the large print edition. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world, fill it with your truth, and keep it in your peace. Renew the life of this diocese of Down and Dromore. As members of this diocese, we seek your blessing in all we do, your presence in our fellowship, and your inspiration in all our activities. Help us to be faithful in prayer and worship, and to help others to know your love. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the parish of Knocknagony, their rector David Brown, and for all who work and live therein. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Church in Osun, northeast Nigeria. Give wisdom to those who have been called to the ministry of the Church, and guide them in all their work. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader, and build us up in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. Guide the nations in ways of justice and of peace, and bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. We pray for peace in our own province and throughout the world, that the ways of aggression and violence against our fellow humans and against God's creation may be renounced. We pray for our leaders and for all others who strive to bring about peace, that they may have the wisdom to solve problems effectively and fairly. We ask for peace in your church, peace among nations, peace in our homes, and peace in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. We thank you for the community of which we are part, for those who share with us in its activities, and for all who serve its varied interests. Help us to make our own contribution to the community and to learn to be good neighbours, that by love we may serve one another for the sake of Christ our Lord. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. We pray for all homes and families in this parish and community and across the world. We think of those who are on holiday, either at home or abroad. May they enjoy this time to relax away from the stresses of work or school, and may they all return refreshed and well rested. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need. We pray for all those who are ill, whether at home or in hospital, for those who will never recover, and for those who wait with them, for those overwhelmed by the burden of caring for sick or elderly relatives, and for those who are sick in mind or in spirit. O Lord, bring them your peace in their pain, your strength in their weakness, and your comfort in their sadness, and fill them with the warmth of your love, now and always. We pray for those who have been bereaved. We think especially of my mother, Nan Armstrong, and her family, following the recent death of her brother, Bobby. And we pray for other families in our parish who have recently been bereaved. And this morning, we keep in our hearts and our prayers the families of Vi McMeekin and of Nigel Hamilton. Deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression. O Lord, help us always to trust in your goodness, that walking with you and following you, we may find strength in time of fear and the courage of faith in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together with your Holy Spirit, in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I encourage you to share that peace with one. Thank you. yours the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. When it comes to receiving communion, there will be one distribution point this morning. That's here in the sanctuary. All who feel it's appropriate to do so are encouraged to come forward to receive Holy Communion. And young parishioners or young visitors, you're also encouraged to come forward with your families to this point. If there's anybody here this morning who feels they're unable to make their way up to here, would you indicate or intimate such, please, to the church wardens, and we'll ensure that you receive Holy Communion in the pew. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father Almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of our might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
Amen.
As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body. We all share in one bread.
Thank you. Let us pray. God of our pilgrimage, you have led us to the living water. Refresh and sustain us as we go forward on our journey. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out to the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. I'm pausing for a few moments before the blessing. There are three things. I think they're all of importance this morning. First of all, the rector will be on holiday for another week. Somebody said to me this morning, we think we saw the window in the rectory open. I don't know whether it's open or not, but I do know the rector and his family are on holiday. And I would ask you please to respect that until next Sunday. If there's anything of particular importance in a subtle way, whilst I won't be speaking to the rector, in a subtle way I'll make sure he's aware of that. But I would ask you, please, anything else that you may wish to bring to attention at this time, would you direct it, please, to me until next Sunday? And then we look forward to welcoming enthusiastically the rector back from his holiday. The other things I want to say this morning, and there will be a short moment of silence before the blessing, mention made in the prayers this morning of two families who are preparing for funerals here in St. Columba's this week. First of all, Vi McMeekin's funeral, which will take place here on Tuesday afternoon at 2:30, and I know that members of the Ladies' Guild and maybe others will want to note that and identify with the family. And our prayers in particular at this time are with her husband Gerald, her children Stuart and Judith, and the family circle. The other funeral which will take place here, I don't know the time or the date because it's only just happened. Nigel Hamilton died last evening, and we will pray for his family. Both of the people to whom I'm making reference worshipped regularly here in St. Columba's. Funeral will probably be Wednesday or Thursday. You can keep an eye out for that. But we pray at this time, and you're asked to pray, please, for Nigel's wife, Heather, for her children, Scott and Lisa, and also for Nigel's parents. A sad time for both of those family. Let's pause for a moment before the blessing and keep them very much in our thoughts and our prayers. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and always. Amen. Amen. encouraged as we face the opportunities and challenges of this coming week. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.